Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Felix was a governor in Caesarea, Rome's headquarters in what is now Israel. His job today? Facing Paul. Felix and his wife are confronted with the gospel, which brings their own sins to light. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Erwin Lutzer is in a series on light shining in darkness, how the gospel impacts culture. Felix is now face to face with the apostle. Turn again to Acts chapter 24 as Paul explains righteousness to an unrighteous man.
So the apostle Paul helped him and his wife understand why they should put their faith in Jesus. The scripture says that Paul reasoned to them about righteousness. Righteousness is holiness. It's God's high standard. Here was a man and a woman who had violated righteousness many, many times. I, of course, feel sorry for Drusilla because she was, in a sense, a pawn in a political game. But Felix knew what he was doing. And he understood that he had been evil, and so the Apostle Paul was helping him see that. You see, you can't believe on Jesus and be saved unless you know that you're a sinner and you need saving. It was the righteousness of God that caused Martin Luther to have all of the anxiety and doubts that he had. Because Luther understood that the righteousness of God is so much beyond us. It's not human righteousness to a higher power. Righteousness of God is God's holy, high, indescribable standard. And Luther understood that God does not accept us unless we are as holy as he himself is. Luther got that straight. Many people today think, oh, you know, they'll just wiggle into heaven because they'll show up and say, well, I've been good. You've been good. You will be lost forever. It's good to be good, but it doesn't get you into heaven. That's why the Bible says that Jesus Christ gave himself the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. And the good news of the gospel is that when you receive Christ as Savior, you are credited with the righteousness of God, and legally you are as righteous as God, and God allows you into heaven on the basis of Jesus. We are saved on the basis of his merit and not our own. That's why as Christians we sing, clothed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. That is the gospel. So Paul reasons with them about righteousness. He reasons with them about self-control, the Bible says. And he's speaking to people who didn't have a whole lot of self-control and who destroyed their own selves by Felix, by wanting this young woman to leave her husband to come over to him. They broke up two marriages in order that he might get what he wanted. And so the Apostle Paul reasons about that. And then coming judgment, you'll notice, oh, that's why we have to believe in Jesus. Judgment is coming, and it is an individual judgment. Would you take a moment right now and visualize you standing alone in the presence of God? Nothing but reality. No attorney to appeal to make it look better, to tweak it, to make you sound a little bit better. Nothing but reality. And God shows you your life, your background, who you are, the country that you were born in, the opportunities that you had, the ones you accepted and the ones that you neglected, and all of that becomes present to you in the presence of God. It is an individual judgment. It's a compulsory judgment. If you know anything about courts, you know that people phone in and say, well, I can't make it, and so the case is deferred. I'm sorry. When God calls your name, you will be there. It is a compulsory judgment. It is individual. It is totally thorough. Totally thorough. I'm speaking to those of you now who have never received Jesus Christ as Savior. Your judgment will be so thorough. so complete. The Bible says, even regarding all people, that God will disclose the motives of men's hearts. Can you get any more thorough and complete than that? And Paul reasoned with him regarding coming judgment. So notice that he was exposed to the truth. He was confronted with the truth. And what does Felix do? Well, let's read the text and find out what he does. He is convicted by the truth. You'll notice it says, and Felix trembled. Our translation says he was alarmed. The arrow had hit his target, its target. Paul was right dead on, got right to his heart, and Felix shook. Are you under conviction like that today? If the truth is known, you are so uneasy you can hardly wait until this meeting is over. Take care. I hope that you respond differently than Felix did, because he made the wrong decision with what he knew. Felix trembled. It's amazing that we as people don't like truth. We are enemies of truth. Having been exposed to the light, Felix preferred the darkness where he could hide. He preferred the darkness in ways that we shall see in just a moment. You and I are so filled with self-protection, such a willingness to rationalize, such a willingness to ignore the truth. And if we can't ignore it, we tweak it and we rationalize it. A number of years ago, my wife and I were in England, where I led a tour to the sites of the Reformation in England and Scotland, and the guide that we had with us was a pleasant woman, and we got along very, very well, but she was an atheist, and she wanted us to know up front that she was an atheist. So as you can imagine, we had some interesting discussions during down times. But I remember we attended a church. And, you know, guides are supposed to stay with the group that they're caring for and so forth, and she was very good at that. But she left us at the door of the church and said, when it's over, I'll pick you up. I'll be here for you. Now I was thinking, well, why wouldn't she come to church? Is that so bad? You don't agree with it. You just think that they're talking a bunch of fairy tales. I mean, just endure it. Listen, there's something about us today, we don't even want to hear it. Don't tell me. Because we know that when it comes to the truth, it can be very convicting. Well, Felix, the Bible says, was alarmed. He was convicted by the truth, but he did reject it. You'll notice he says, Paul, come back some other time. Go away for the present. When I get an opportunity, I will summon you. And now he shuns the truth. He shuts down his conscience. I remember when I was the pastor of a different church, some young people sitting in the balcony. For some reason, young people like to sit in the balcony. And they used to say, Pastor Lutzer, we were so convicted when you preached that as soon as the service was over, we would go out and we'd get into our cars and we'd turn on the radio real loud because we didn't even want to deal with the issues. That's the way we as humans are. So Felix does that. But notice what was really in his heart. He says, when I get an opportunity, I'll summon you. At the same time, verse 26, he hoped that money would be given to him by Paul. You see, Paul had brought an offering. He'd brought an offering to the saints at Jerusalem. That's one of the reasons he went to Jerusalem. And so Paul mentions that in his defense, which we didn't have time to read. Paul mentions that. So Felix is thinking, Paul's connected here. Maybe I can get some money. And so he has Paul a number of times. You'll notice it says, so he sent for him often and conversed with him. He thought to himself, he hasn't given me money yet, but if I get him often enough, and if I keep him in jail long enough, maybe he'll come through. When 2 years had elapsed, Felix was succeeded by Porcius Festus, and desiring to do the Jews a favor, Felix left Paul in prison. Knew right well the guy was innocent. But there in prison, the Apostle Paul is going to know the presence of God, because prison for Paul was just as much within the will of God as the good times were. If you have the faith to believe it, that's how you can handle your circumstances. But back to Felix. If you summarize the life of this man who saw the truth, was confronted by it, was alarmed by it, and then, so far as we know, dies without responding to it. The bottom line is this, that he sacrificed the present on the altar of eternity. Or perhaps I should put it differently. He sacrificed eternity. I think this would be more accurate. He sacrificed eternity on the altar of the present. What he said was, all that I care about is the money. That's number one. That's the number of motivation. I hope Paul gives me a bribe. And number two, what do people think of me? There are some of you here who are listening right now. You've never trusted Christ as Savior. And what is going through your mind with such clarity over and over again is this: if I become a Christ follower, if I believe in Jesus, what is my family going to say about me? What about my colleagues at work? What about my relatives? What about, is something like Festus saying, I want to do the Jews a favor because what people think is more important than what God thinks? And like Festus and Felix, Festus also, he's the next ruler, you are putting him off and you're saying, it doesn't matter, I'm going to stifle the voice that I know I should follow. And so Felix postpones, and it is often said that if you have this idea that someday I will do something, someday turns out to be no day. You never do it. You put it off. Well, my friend, I hope today you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Don't put it off. This is Pastor Lutzer. It is really true that procrastination, as has been said, is oftentimes the road to hell. Tomorrow never comes. Unless, of course, we're speaking of the tomorrow of eternity. We know for sure that that will come. You know, if you want to communicate with us, we are greatly encouraged, especially if you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. But even if you want simply for us to know that the broadcast has been a blessing to you, may I remind you that you can go to moodymedia.org. That's moodymedia.org, and press the contact link and let us know that God has blessed you as a result of this program. Because you see, as I've been preaching this series of messages titled Light Shining in Darkness, I've been reminded over and over again about the importance of everyone living for Jesus Christ wherever they may be. Because Jesus said, you and you alone are the light of the world. Imagine that. Imagine the fact that Jesus Christ wants us to shine so that in the midst of the brokenness of this world, we can offer hope, we can offer reconciliation, and we can explain to people how they can come to know God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Today, that is our assignment.
Erwin Lutzer with more of The Light Shines on a Governor, another message in a series on light shining in darkness. Next time on Running to Win, why so many people ward off the gospel by hoping for a more convenient time. Light Shining in Darkness, 8 messages on CD, can be yours as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to us at Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.